Live from Utrecht, this is Bitcoin
Explained.
Sjors, I have a problem. I have Bitcoins laying around everywhere. Bitcoins on exchanges, Bitcoins in hot wallets, Bitcoins in paper wallets.
Bitcoins in ETFs.
Is there a safe place to store my Bitcoin, Sjors?
There might be, because we have a sponsor, and they're called CoinKite.
And they produce the Cold Card,
I
heard.
That's right.
A hardware wallet for your Bitcoins.
And it supports PSBT, partially signed Bitcoin transactions.
Great. Okay, Sjors and dear listener. So we've been getting requests over the past years, basically, to sometimes make more Lightning-specific episodes.
Indeed. Although we know that Lightning is dead.
Is it?
Well, that's what Twitter says.
What do they say? Why is it dead?
I don't know.
Oh. I used it today. It worked. It worked for me.
Okay.
Good. So we're making the request is to make Lightning specific episodes sometimes. However, Sjors and I both kind of feel out of our depth when it comes to at least more advanced Lightning topics.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed this in the episode before, where you can really sort of see that the development communities of Bitcoin and Lightning are kind of starting to separate a bit, specialize a bit. There's overlap, obviously, but there's definitely sort of more Bitcoin focused, technological experts and developers, and those that focus more on Lightning. But we do want to incorporate more Lightning topics in our episodes. So we're happy that today we have a special guest. Yessa.
Good to be here.
How are you, Yessa?
Good. Good.
Now, who are you?
Who am I? I'm a Lightning developer and I work for Breeze. My name is Jesse DeWitt.
Jesse DeWitt.
Jesse DeWitt. It's an impossible name to pronounce in English. And
I just did pronounce it in English. Anyways, never mind. Yeah. Move on.
Okay. So I work on Lightning for Breeze, mostly working on Lightning service provider stuff and also Breeze SDK. And I'm quite well read into the Lightning specifics these days.
Awesome. Yeah. So thanks a lot for coming on. We had sort of a list of Lightning topics that we wanted to cover at some point. And earlier this week, we read this list to you. And the one that sort of sprung out for you to cover is asynchronous payments.
Exactly.
And the nice thing about that is, you mentioned, if we cover asynchronous payments, then we sort of at the same time also tackle two other topics that were already on our list that we can sort of all wrap into one episode, basically, because it sort of supports each other, right?
So yes. Yeah. And we'll touch on the topics later on, I suppose, when we cover async payments.
Yeah. Well, I'll spoil this. So the other two that we're sort of going to touch on are PTLCs and trampoline payments are also gonna.
Yes, we'll touch on them briefly. We'll not go into depth on like exactly how they work, but they definitely are necessary for asynchronous payments.
Okay, awesome. So asynchronous payments, I guess the first, the starting point is, what is it, or maybe why is it needed? Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so in the Lightning network, if Alice is trying to pay Bob, they both have to be online at the same time in order for a Lightning payment to settle. And people, users are just not used to that these days anymore, right? So people use texts and every communication now happens asynchronously. So in Lightning payments, users just expect it to work asynchronously as well.
And in Bitcoin, you're also used to payments being asynchronous, right? You have an address, you send some money to it whenever you want.
Exactly, yeah. So you don't have to be online at the same time for that.
Yeah, so to give a very concrete example of something that happened to me this week, and also allows me one more option to show my book.
That's all right.
So someone wanted to buy the Genesis book from me, like an autographed version, and then he emailed me and he wanted to pay in Lightning. And I said, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then I sent him back, you know, using the Breeze wallet, actually, a Lightning address. But obviously, then I have to like keep my wallet open, and I don't know for how long before he's going to make the payment. So that kind of stuff is just very complicated with Lightning. So in the end, I sent him an on-chain address, because that way he can just send whenever he wants. So essentially, that is what you Lightning developers are trying to achieve with Lightning as well, you can send a invoice that can be paid at any point. Is that even the right way of framing it?
Yeah, so maybe you can walk into the problem that you had first, because, well, first of all, your app has to be running. It needs CPU time in order to sign messages for receiving the Lightning payment.
So, and it needs to receive data, right?
Yeah, it needs to receive data and it needs to sign messages, exactly. So so if you're not online, well, you won't be able to do that, and so you won't be able to receive the payment. But if you, if let's say Alice is trying to send a payment and she's sending it to you, then Alice is going to find a route over the Lightning Network. And a naive thing you could try to do is just the last hop, which is for you was the Breeze LSP, Breeze Lightning Service Provider, which is the node that you are connected to, could hold the payment until you come online and then forward the payment to you. That would be a naive approach in trying to solve that Alice and you don't have to be online at the same time.
And it's naive, I would assume, because in that case, Breeze can steal my money?
No, they definitely can steal your money. But the problem is we're locking liquidity in the network right now if we do this. So because Alice her payment, maybe we can explain a little bit what a Lightning payment is first. So first you allocate, you find a route through the network. So you go, you find a path over different nodes, over different channels. And then when sending a payment, first you're going to allocate liquidity in each of these channels that's sort of locked. Until you get the pre-image back that comes from you whenever you settle the payment, pre-image comes back to Alice, and only then are the funds released.
Yeah, so I guess another way to describe it is there's a secret at the end of the tunnel, essentially, right? The payee, the person receiving the payment, has a secret, and the person making the payment has to allocate liquidity, and then every hop does the same thing, and then the last hop gets the secret and then sends it back to the payer. So there's information that goes towards from the sender to the recipient, and then there's information that has to go back from the recipient to the sender. And as long as that information has not made the full return trip, the liquidity is locked up all over the channel.
Yeah, so all over the network, the liquidity will be locked. And that's something we don't want in the Lightning Network. Because usually when a payment is happy, in a happy flow, these payments settle within a second, right? But if you just turn your phone off for a day, then liquidity is suddenly locked for an entire day.
Why is this a problem?
Yeah, it's a problem because of that feature that I just described. You would expect the liquidity to settle very quickly over the Lightning Network. So if you lock this liquidity for a long time, you're locking it in multiple channels as well. So the amount of your payment is locked over multiple channels. So you exponentially degrade the ability of the Lightning Network to be able to forward payments this way.
It basically means you need bigger channels, right? Because if you're only using channels 1 second at a time, then maybe a one Bitcoin channel is enough. But if if that one Bitcoin is just locked up for 2 weeks, then you need a much bigger channel.
Okay, and just for my understanding, is this the only problem we're trying to solve? Like, let's say we would all use bigger channels, would that just sort of also solve the problem in that sense?
No, not if people start sending more payments, then bigger channels are no longer an option anymore. Or no longer work. Yeah.
Okay. And is this the problem we're trying to solve, or is there other problems involved as well?
Yeah. So the main there's two aspects of this. There's one of them is that we don't want to lock this liquidity in the network while the payment is in flight, and the other one is also has to do with the invoice generation. So because Alice and Bob presumably are not online at the same time, they won't exchange an invoice. So Alice needs a way to statically create an invoice.
Right, because an example of your book, you created an invoice, but only once you saw the email.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, whoever wanted to buy the book had to wait for you to do that. And it'd be better if the person who wants to buy the book does not have to wait for you to make an invoice. But then the problem is that standard Lightning invoices, the Bolt 11 format, you can pay them once, right? So,
exactly.
So you can make an invoice and say, well, whoever is the first person to buy my book, pay this invoice. But now if you want to scale that and you want to sell multiple books, well, you probably have to make multiple invoices and put them on your website and tell people to pick which one. I don't know.
Okay, so let's cover that problem first. I need a way to sort of automatically generate invoices even though my phone is switched off, I guess, right?
So if you would currently create a Bolt 11 invoice, which is the invoice format we use on the Lightning Network today, if you get that invoice paid, then you release the pre-image, which is your secret, which is the payment secret. And so nobody else will be able to pay that again, because an intermediate node would be able to intercept your payment and settle the payment without the payment ever arriving to you, because he already knows the secret.
Yeah, the secret can only be used once for one payment flow, essentially.
Yeah, so the secret can only be used once, which means the invoice can only be used.
And this is a secret that I'm generating on my Breeze wallet app.
Yeah, right, basically now. A random number.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first we need to tackle that. And the best way to do that is to create an actually a static invoice, which would be reusable. So you could just post that on your website, say, well, a book costs this and this much money, and senders would be able to pay to this invoice an infinite amount of times. And for that, we need a different model, and this different model works with PTLCs. So currently, the way we described, you've got a secret, and this secret is hashed into the invoice, which... And then HTLCs are sent over the Lightning Network. I think you've covered this in Lightning episodes.
Maybe. We have previously tried to explain we generally also explained what hashes are.
We definitely had like a basic Lightning explainer episode at one point, and I'm sure we must have covered this. Yeah, it's a couple of years ago, so I don't remember exactly, but presumably yes.
But the hash, it's the hash of the secret. That's what you're sending to the other side, and the other side says, please give me the secret that belongs to this hash.
Yes.
And that's really the message you're forwarding along all these channels.
Right, so that's called an HTLC. So what is a PTLC?
Yeah, and it's basically sort of the same construct, only instead of having a pre-image and a hash, you have a private key and a public key, which is called a payment point. And that's why it's called a point time lock contract. So it's not a hash time lock contract, but a point time lock contract.
Uh-huh.
And the trick with these public keys is that you can tweak them, which make them so. And you can basically derive as much keys as you want from a single public key, which make them. Yeah, you can make an infinite amount of secrets from.
Yeah, one of our very first episodes talked about Taproot and why Taproot is so cool, and one of the aspects of it is that it's very easy to add a number to a private key and then add essentially the same number to the public key. And then
That's Snore basically, right? But yeah.
Yes. And that's already possible with the CDH, but it's just much, much easier with Schnorr.
Mm-hmm.
And this PTLC construct makes use of that, right? But the ability to add some random number to a private key, and the other side can do that to the public key. So even if you don't have the public key, you know how to tweak it. And you cannot do that with hashes, because if you take the letter A, for example, and you hash it, you get some large number. Then if you say, oh, I'm just going to change A to B, well, the other side has no idea. Like, you cannot just take the hash of A and then take the hash of B and add them together. That's not going to give you the same result.
Yeah. Yeah, so it does work with points, right? With payment points. And so what the sender can do is it's going to, for each intermediate hop, generate a different secret, basically. So each intermediate hop is going to think that it's a different secret than the one the recipient actually created. And so each intermediate hop won't ever learn the actual secret from the payee.
But how does that work if you're making two payments through the same route? Because what is it that makes the second payment different from the first payment?
So the trick is that Alice, which is the sender, she generates a random number as well, which tweaks the public key, and the intermediate nodes, they use this tweaked public key in order to learn the secret, basically.
Yeah, so it's never the same secret.
It's never the same secret, and not for any intermediate hop as well.
Yeah. So even if two different people make a payment, the sender picks the random number, so the recipient doesn't have to do anything. As long as each sender picks a random number, they cannot reuse the same secret.
Yeah, and it's in the best interest of the sender to pick a random number then, because it's his payment that will be stolen otherwise.
Okay, so in this case, I'm trying to sell the Genesis book to someone, so I got to generate an invoice. Who's generating? Where does this generation happen? What happens exactly?
Yeah, so you create an invoice, and it's got the payment points inside inside of your invoice, and you just put that up on your website. I'm a sender. I scan your invoice, and I'm going to tweak your payment points with random numbers.
Right.
Along the route.
Right.
So nobody learns about the actual secret when the secret comes back to the sender.
Right. Okay, got it. That part makes sense to me.
So that removes the interactivity from you having to make an invoice. But in this scenario, you're still online because you are clearly receiving the payment and sending back the secret every time somebody makes a payment.
Yeah, so that was the second part of the problem I think we're trying to solve, right? Now, my phone is, I emailed this guy back or whatever. My phone is switched off and now I still need to receive the payment.
Exactly.
Without locking these funds along all these channels because that screws up.
Yeah, so your friend has downloaded the invoice from your website instead of having to send you an email.
Right.
But in this, so far, we've still reached the point where, okay, they don't have to email you anymore. They just make the payment, but your wallet still needs to be online to receive the payment.
Yes. Okay, so how do we solve this problem, Jesse?
Okay, let's go over how async payments works then. So Alice is going to pay Bob, and Alice is going to be connected to the Lightning Network through a Lightning service provider, and Bob is going to be connected to the Lightning Network through a Lightning service provider, where a Lightning service provider is basically just a node that you're connected to the Lightning Network. And this node is well connected to the Lightning Network.
Yeah, so the concrete example here would be, for example, Breeze, I think, right? Like my wallet is not a full node. It just connects to Breeze's full node.
Yeah, and Breeze's full node is tolerant of you being offline a lot,
mm-hmm.
Which is why we call this a Lightning service provider, but it could basically be any node that's tolerant to that. And what Alice is going to do, It's going to send the payment to Bob, but it's going to tell her LSP, please hold this payment until you receive a message that you can release it.
That she's telling her own LSP that.
She's telling her own LSP that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason she does that...
Otherwise, it's a regular Lightning payment with a PTLC then. It's a regular, it's normal. She just says to her own service provider, don't send this yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this message is inside the payment itself. But so basically it's a regular Lightning payment.
And so at this point, the Alice's LSP cannot steal the money, right? It's not that she's making a payment to her LSP. She is doing the first step of the payment, which is giving the pre-image. No, not the pre-image. Giving the point. The public thing of the secret to her payment provider, who cannot take the money unless they get the secret. And in order to get the secret, they have to forward it. But all Alice is doing is saying, oh, wait a minute, don't forward it just yet because Bob might not be online.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So we know the reason why the LSP is not forwarding it. And what Alice is going to do as well, she's going to send an onion message to Bob saying, hey, there's a pending payment here. If you want to release that whenever you're online, send a message back along this path over here. And there's an encrypted path inside this message as well.
When you say onion message, what do you mean by that?
An onion message is, so over the Lightning Network, we route payments over onions as well, basically meaning that every hop where this message is routed over is encrypted. So it sort of becomes an onion of encryption,
mm-hmm.
where onions have layers.
So every point in a route can only see which point is coming next, or which node is coming next, and which node came before it, but cannot see further in either direction. Which yeah, we explained a bit in our episode about Bolt 12.
Yeah, and you can basically send arbitrary messages over this construction over the Lightning Network then.
Right.
And she's going to send this to Bob, and with a reply path then to her LSP. So Bob will be able to unlock the payment, so it actually becomes forwarded. But Bob is offline, of course. So the LSP is of Bob will hold this onion message until Bob is online.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the LSP knows, well, I have to forward this to Bob. Bob is not there. So I'm just going to wait until Bob is online.
Right.
Yeah. And the LSP cannot read what is in the message. Just knows, like, I have a message for Bob. I don't know where it came from, but I'll give it to Bob when Bob is online.
Yeah. And in this case, it's obviously not a problem because no funds are being locked up. It's just a message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the onion message goes first to Bob's service provider, and he will forward that to Bob when Bob's gone online. Bob comes online, turns his phone on, or his, you know, Breeze app or whatever Lightning app he has, sees this message, or probably as well as just responds to the message, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have to actually see it.
Yeah, this all goes automatic, but we will say that his wallet sees the message and then is going to reply over that reply path. So he doesn't really know where the message is coming from. He just knows that he has to send an onion message there in order to unlock it. And then, so Alice's LSP, who is still holding that payment right now. By the way, Alice, after she sent the onion message to Bob, was able to go offline, right? She could put her phone back in her pocket. It's an important part that they don't have to be online at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Alice's LSP now has the money in a way.
Yeah, has the money in a way. And now, so we're now at the point where Alice's LSP received the onion message from Bob saying, please forward this payment. Then the LSP forwards the payment to Bob, and Bob is online now. So he's able to settle the payment. So he's going to release the pre-image. The pre-image goes back all the way to Alice's LSP. And Alice's LSP, whenever Alice comes online, is able to settle the last piece between her and Alice, because only her channel with Alice is now still in a state where funds are in limbo.
Right.
Yeah, so I guess the only player in this story that needs to hold funds in limbo in a channel longer than you'd normally want to do is the channel between Alice and her Lightning service provider. So obviously the Lightning service provider will want to be compensated for that in a way, but if Alice is a mobile node, then that money is probably going to be stuck anyway, because if she's not online, they can route through it, and she probably doesn't have any other channels, so it's not a routing node anyway.
And LSP will already allocate liquidity towards these users, so I don't think there will be any specific compensation for this, just probably for the fact of being a Lightning service provider and allocating liquidity. Maybe you'll pay something for that.
Yeah.
I promised that we would also cover trampoline payments. So where does this come in?
Yeah,
so
because this, in some situations, it would just work this way, right?
In some situations, it would just work. But there is actually a problem, because if Alice finds a route for this payment over the Lightning Network to Bob, usually in Lightning, what happens is you find a route, you try the route, and then somewhere along the route, either a node is offline or doesn't have enough liquidity, or and this route fails, and what your node is going to do is going to find another route.
And this is also, by the way, where I'd like to shield the episode with Rene Picard we did a few years ago, explaining sort of his pathfinding optimal way of making payments. But it also involves lots of attempts. Quite a few attempts to get a payment through. It's by design, there's some privacy in the Lightning protocol, so you don't know exactly how much room there is in all the channels along the route. You know how big the channel is, but you don't know where the money is in that channel, so you don't know how much you can actually send through it. And this changes every time as well.
That was a short special, I believe, right?
Yes.
But you don't know the episode, I'm sure.
No.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Alice, if she created this first route and this route fails, that would mean that she would only retry whenever she comes back online again. Well, you don't know when that is. So what Alice can do is she can delegate the pathfinding to another node. And this is a feature in the Lightning Network that's being implemented in several node implementations. Async already uses it, and it's called trampoline payments. So basically, Alice is going to ask her LSP, please, I want to forward this payment to this direction. Please, do you find the best path over the Lightning Network? And I'm just going to chill and go offline now.
Yeah, and so this works by providing a carte blanche in terms of fees, right? Because normally when you establish the route, you know exactly how much fees you need to pay at every hop, but because you're not establishing the route, you're just going to say, well, here's 100 sats. You figure it out, and if you find a cheaper route, you get the you keep the change.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so you give them some kind of margin. And it could be a competition for trampoline nodes as well to say, well, I'm the cheapest because I know how to find the best routes in the network.
Exactly, like the London taxi drivers that have the knowledge, and they can find the shortest route through London without a GPS, and they usually are actually faster than the Uber drivers that just follow Google Maps, according to legend.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so Alice's LSP is now able to retry this payment whenever it fails, and so would be able to reach Bob, hopefully in a timely manner, before Bob goes offline again.
And so this ingredient is useful, like we said, because the Lightning Network changes all the time. You need to do multiple attempts, and so this trampoline router can just try it multiple times, basically. Yeah. The downside, of course, is privacy. Because the trampoline now knows where the payment is going.
Yes. So the first part of this is Bob, in his invoice, could have created a blinded path. So that's one part of this where you would not actually, where the intermediate node would not actually find the destination, right? The trampoline node would not find the destination. And another way to deal with this is to select multiple trampoline hops in your route. So we're now using one trampoline node. So Alice's LSP is going to find different routes, but you could tell Alice's LSP, so first find a route to this random trampoline node, then find a route, and then that trampoline node has to find a route to that random trampoline node. So you could, if you value your privacy, you could diffuse the pathfinding a little bit that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, I guess one maybe concern that sort of comes to my mind, but I'll let you address that, is it sort of sounds like this would make Lightning users very dependent on service providers. Sure, mentioned there also more general risk, and I'm asking, works for a Lightning service provider, but you know, is this a reasonable concern in your view, or in Shorsha's view maybe, but let's hear from Jesse first.
From my point of view, it depends on how
Shorsha, I said let's hear from Jesse first.
okay so there's a user that apparently online Lightning node, right? So he wants to run a Lightning node in his pocket, so that means there's no other way in network through nodes that are willing to accept that.
And as a reminder, why there's willing and involved theme? If you have a channel, but you're offline all the time, now if you channel and all the money in the channel is on your own side, then the other side is not going to care. But if you have made like lots and lots of payments through the channel, now the money's on the other side. The other side is going to be annoyed by this because when you're offline, they cannot access that money at all. They can't, but they have to force close it, which is expensive. They can't route anything through it because you're offline, you're not a routing node. So that money is just, they own it, but they're forced hodling it, essentially. And so there is not everybody's going to be willing to just allow you to open a channel and behave like that. I think right now many nodes don't care, but they might close the channel on you saying, hey, this is not making me enough money. So a Lightning service provider in the very broad sense is anyone who's willing to just put up with a peer that's not online all the time, probably by charging.
Yeah. How far is this?
So there's a lot of prerequisites. So first of all, we need the taproot channels in order to... taproot channels are LND implemented the simple taproot channels protocol, which sort of works with private channels right now, but not with public channels.
Okay, you
It's basically the so Lightning channels are basically just commitment transactions on chain, right? But you update them locally and you don't broadcast many of these that you sign in between in your channel. Mm-hmm. And these transactions are tap actions. So that's basically what a taproot channel is.
Okay. So it's pretty much what it sounds like.
And that's that's just the main transaction, but then there's the HTLCs, the things that fly over the channel when you're making a payment, those to make those PTLC. Another change, right? You can have taproot channels that still use locks for the payments.
Yeah. And also if you use taproot channels, you need to gossip your channel, so you need to tell the rest of the network, like, these are the channels that I have. And this also does not exist yet. So there's some prerequisites there on the side. And then there is a proposal now for holding the payment, which is one part of async payments, where the LSP holds the payment until a message is sent when it's released.
Mm-hmm.
And this standard is within the protocol itself. So it's not like some custom API of the Lightning service provider. It's really just part of the Lightning protocol. Anybody who speaks the Lightning protocol could hold a payment.
Yeah, so there it would be the question where this ends up exactly. In Bolts, which is a Lightning improvement proposal. But mm-hmm. Blips can also be implemented by any node, basically. So there's that part, which is are currently only supported by CLN in order to be able
because on your messages of Bolt 12, right? We did a whole episode about Bolt 12, but we explained how on your messages are kind of useful in that scheme, but Bolt 12 is mostly being pushed by Core Lightning and I guess LDK now. And so you have to wait for, I guess you just need two implementations, but in order for it to be useful, it's nice if LND supports it because like a whole bunch of nodes are running LND and the onion message needs to go from A to B through all these hops. So if, you know, I think onion messages can follow any route you like, right? They don't have to follow any channels that exist. They can just go through any way through the network?
Yeah, I guess they sort of could, but you only know that people are connected through their channels usually.
Right, yeah. So it has to follow some bunch of channels, and if all these nodes are running LND in the middle, then you just don't have a way to get your message to the other side.
Yeah. So I think we probably talked about most of the prerequisites.
Trampoline?
Yeah, so Trampoline, yeah, exactly.
That's done by the Async people? That's used by Phoenix, but is it
by the Async people now? And there's so LDK also implemented parts of it. I don't think they completed Trampoline payments completely. Please correct me if I'm wrong there. So that's also not part of the Bolt spec yet. It's not merged into the spec yet.
Okay, so basically there's still a bunch of building blocks that need to be in place before this can work, and different implementations are in different stages of completing these building blocks.
Yeah. So it's basically almost every improvement to the Lightning network that we want to have is sort of a prerequisite for async payments.
Sounds easy. 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be 2 weeks, but right. Yeah, more like several years.
Is anyone against this?
Is John Cofarlio against async payments?
He's against everything, so I'm assuming. Why are there people against this? Is this like in any way controversial, or are there concerns about this, or maybe there are people that have, you know, developers that have different preferences, or is there
the people maybe against some parts of the upgrades? So maybe I'm not exactly sure about their reasoning, but one reason I can come up with is that onion messages, they can also be a DOS vector. So just
I thought Lalu basically came up with that. Is that just am I misremembering that?
I don't know about this exactly.
Okay, never mind. Okay, so there might be against onion messages, or are they against onion messages? Yeah, you think so?
Well, they're not implementing it. They do have so LNDK, which is sort of like an extension to LND, which does support onion messages. And
I mean, sometimes, most of the time, when somebody doesn't implement something, it's just because they don't have time for it, because they're working on 6,000 other things that have that priority.
Yeah.
It's not that they're opposed to it.
Right. Okay, so as far as you know, there's not necessarily any opposition to asynchronous payments.
No, I don't believe so. I think this is it's just a great...
Yeah, and it's also a bit of a harm reduction thing, because people like this ability to pay to a mobile recipient, and so there are already solutions out there that will just lock up all the liquidity.
Yeah, and that's evil.
Lots of problems, so it's one of those things where it might be better to implement it because the alternative is worse.
Right. Okay, does that cover it?
I think so. You got it.
Anything you want to shill?
Where should people find you?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Should people find you?
Yeah, people can find me on Twitter at withthejesse.
In that case...
for a charge.
Indeed. Thank you for listening to Bitcoin.
Explained.